Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Good morning, 97.1, Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, Luke Sloan on the updates, and a Tiger baseball team, one win away from the ALDS.
How sweet it is, and you win game one. Let's say it again,
history.
Tigers in two, here we go.
How awesome was it to not only beat Cleveland, I mean, come on. They've been such a thorn in the Tigers' side. But to beat them at their own black magic game,
yeah.
To beat them with the small ball, guards ball, A.J. Hinch calling for a bunt twice in that game to score a couple runs, John?
Yeah, I mean, that's when you're looking at, you know, things that were different yesterday, that they were doing, that they didn't do really in 162, it was small ball. And how many times have we heard people, I wish they would take small ball. Whether they call in here or they call in, you know, in middays, it's, I wish AJ would like just advance a runner from second to third. All right. We finally got a little bit of that. And this is where you pull out all the stops. You pull out every trick, every tool in the toolbox to find a way to win. And even at that ninth inning, you're thinking, oh, this is how it goes. Like, this is just par for the course, right?
Yep.
With the, you know, error on Javi, should have had a scoop at first. Ramirez ends up on third. Or even if you're looking at the one run that was scored on Scooble, right? The ball doesn't leave the infield. Tell me if you've heard this story. The ball doesn't leave the infield and they score a run.
Look, at least he didn't put it between his legs, but he needs to let his infield field that because I don't think they score there. And you're right, it's agonizing. It's playoff baseball, but it's two teams that play this way. This is what Cleveland does all the time, and it's what Detroit had to do because, John, the bats weren't there, but you don't want to waste Tarek Skubal, who's throwing the gem of all gems, 14 yeah. strikeouts in a playoff game, ties the Tiger franchise record, and his seventh inning, where he punched out all three batters on pitches of 100 miles an hour or more, yeah. Like, the adrenaline's pumping. You got to let him finish this, and you got to finish this for him and score something. And they resorted to what they could do, laying down a bunt.
Yep.
Zach McKinstry, fire up chips.
And I would love to hear people's reaction on the final pitch of the game, where or the final out, right? The pop out to Javi at short.
Mm-hmm.
I stood up and gave the fist pump. Like, it was, you know, a hell yeah moment. And it just was, it was so much of the frustrations of the end of the year. Can they win playoff baseball? They're going to win a Scooble start finally after, you know, three losses to end the season. And the way that they did it, and I thought, again, going back to Vest and how he handled that situation, being able to run, like, it was, that's teach tape. You run at the runner, you force him back to the bag that he came from, and then you find a way to tag him out. And it just was, it was perfect. And it was that moment of just pure joy of we won a game. It was a playoff game.
A lot of credit to Will Vest, who had to get the four-out save, comes in the eighth, runner in scoring position, and he has not pitched well outside of the ninth this year.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to the ninth, and then John, the adversity of, dude, it's all on you. There's no safety net. Runners at third base with no outs. You can't even allow a fly ball.
Mm-hmm.
You got to bear down, get punch outs, infield flies, ground balls, and he did. I mean, and you're right, specifically on that play where they get Jose Ramirez on the base paths. I don't know why he went. But if he's going to go, he has to go home and force Vest to throw, right, to get a catch, to get a tag. Instead, he ends up in no man's land because Will Vest stares him down.
Right. Well, I mean, he said he was going on contact, and I understand that. Like, they had to be aggressive. The one run that they scored, it was second to home
on an infield,
hit. Yeah. Like, are you kidding me? And so, yeah, it was just all of those things. But let's flip it around for a moment, because how many times have we been talking about, oh, we got a runner on third with no outs and we can't score? Mm-hmm. We're not having that conversation. They are. The Yankees last night against the Sox, bases loaded, bottom of the ninth, no outs, and they don't find a way to score. Like, it just, the Tigers did what they had to do to win. Mm-hmm. And it was so much fun to watch.
Yeah, it's not pretty, but it's winning. And we've seen a lot of ugly and losing to round out the month of September. It's nice to end the month with a win, have it be a playoff win. And John, you gave people the history yesterday, winning game one in these three-game series tends to mean it's always meant you win the series.
Now, to this point.
And that's where I wanted to bring this up. I'm still not sold they're winning this series.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you still got the Costa lock going.
I'm sure people will be thrilled to hear that this morning. But John, if that's going to be what the offense is, it's going to be another nail biter today.
So be it. That's right. What playoff baseball, they're all nail biters. They're all going to be nail biters.
And we're not going to have Scooble throwing today to breathe fire in the seventh inning.
And when that game started, right? Did you think that was going to be a three-pitch inning?
No.
For Williams? What? Swing out. Swing out.
I know.
And I'm sitting there going, they're going to... Tigers, like, let's
boys.
Make him...
Boys.
Make him throw some pitches. And then all of a sudden, it's single... And then there's a mistake in the outfield, and Kerry Carpenter takes second. Like, you've got to be able to make them pay for their mistakes, and they did in the first inning.
And who else but Torkelson?
And
it wasn't pretty. Again, it's a blooper. But it did feel like the roles were reversed a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I feel like that's an error the Tigers would have made in the last couple weeks. Right. Or the Tigers would have stranded Jose Ramirez in the ninth inning.
Right, or it's Ramirez on second, and then Kwan with Kwan on second, Ramirez with a bloop single that scores a run. You're
of course.
Oh, come on.
Soft contact. Come on.
Hey.
Shoes on the other foot today,
yes.
Baby.
Yes, it is.
We got open lines. We're going to talk Tiger fans for a bunch of the show today. A heads up, it's a Wednesday, which means we do have Lions tickets to give away. Make this day even better. Bad news, it's not this hour, so if you're up early, I'm sorry. But 1 hour on the show today, we'll play Name That Lion for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Monday night game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh, Monday night tickets.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's the next home game. So, Tiger Talk, where are you at level of buy-in? Are you all the way back in? Hey, this was the team with the best record in the AL. I'm all the way back in. Playoff baseball. Are you bought in enough to, hey, they're going to win this series and I'm just not confident beyond that? Or are you not even sold they're winning this series based on the fact that these are going to be nail biters and you don't have Scooble? 248-539-9797. John, level of buy-in.
Okay, same as yesterday. Tigers in two. I mean, I'm not going to change, especially since they won.
But beyond that, like, you're not...
No. You get to a five-game series. Okay, can they win a five-game series? Yes. They're better built to win a three-game series, which is why I said Tigers in two. A five-game series, they can still win. I don't expect them to get to the ALCS, but I'm not going to sit here and say they have no chance.
Especially
I'm kind of a 50-50 on the ALDS.
It would be Seattle. Scooble would throw Sunday and game five
if necessary.
So you'd have a puncher's chance in a five-game series.
Yeah, but what do you do for game one? Because Mize is going to go to... And if you do it in two, right, you got Flaherty.
Yeah.
And then you go Scooble. And then you're back to Mize. And everybody's going to be on a little bit of a shorter rest. But,
you're
hey...
piecing it together. Yeah, it's playoff baseball.
Up.
Yeah. Speaking of man up, Casey Mize today. He wasn't on the playoff roster a year ago. He made the All-Star game in the first half. He did stabilize in September. He pitched decent. Actually, pretty damn well at the end of the season against Boston. Huge spot for Casey Mize today.
Oh, it's going to be a lot of fun. It really is. And I'm hoping for the best. We're all hoping for the best, like, especially after that win yesterday. Like, if you were, oh, the Tigers are going to waste our time. I get it. I understand the frustrations. They're in the playoffs. They won a playoff game. Now let's jump on board and see how long we can ride this train.
That's how I would view it. I did have messages from people going, hey, how about
you? Anybody else singing that song?
Yes. Did you see me over here? Yeah. Like bopping,
I know. I looked at Greg and I'm like, I was wondering if he was going to get it. Maybe we'll come back with that music. But yeah, then Heather's over there head bobbing. All right.
But I got a message from someone who said, I can't believe some of your listeners are so out that they won't even watch this. This was an electric, dramatic playoff win, and you had people opting out. And what I told the guy is, it was a lot like the guys who claim to be Lions free. You were going to be on your couch watching your TV on Sundays, even when you hated the Lions. And I'd imagine, look, if you had to work, it's one thing, but you were keeping an eye on the game cast. You had an earbud in. You were checking the score. I can't imagine even the hardened, frustrated, burned out on the Tigers fan chose to ignore that yesterday. I just call BS. I think you were watching or paying attention.
So I want to ask the question. All right. Were you one of those that I'm not watching? You were going to refuse to just because Scott Harris made you so mad at the trade deadline. The Tigers just infuriated you by losing the division that you weren't going to watch. But then all of a sudden, in about the seventh inning, you saw that the Tigers went up 2-1. Did you tune in for the eighth and ninth? Did you tune in because you just couldn't stay away? That something about that update on your phone just drew you in and you had to see the final couple innings. And maybe it was a hate watch. Maybe you wanted to see, oh, how are they going to lose it? And Ramirez ends up on third. And you're like, man, I told you so.
There we go.
But then all of a sudden they won.
What? I'd imagine there's got to be FOMO. Like, Scooble's got 14 strikeouts in a playoff game. He's throwing 101, dotting people up to get K's in the seventh. Very JV-esque, by the way. Mm-hmm. Ramping up, big spot, swing and miss. And you're just going to sit there at 1 o'clock watching, like, reruns of Maury or something? I don't know. Like, the Tigers are going on.
Yeah. Is Maury still on?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Somewhere, probably.
Yeah. Reruns.
What's you going are on? Not the father.
What's going on at 1 o'clock? Well, Tarik Skubal might be their daddy after that.
Yeah, there you go.
248-539-9797. Talking to Tiger fans early this morning. It's 97.1.
Hey, FanDuel's getting you ready for kickoff with an offer you don't want to miss. New customers can bet just $5 and get $300 in bonus bets. And all you got to do is win that first bet. That's right. Pick a bet $5. And if it wins, you're going to unlock $300 in bonus bets to use all across the app. You can build parlays, bet player props, ride live lines, whatever your style, whatever you want. FanDuel has you covered. We are in week 5 of the NFL season. So there's two questions. Are you ready to play? And why haven't you played yet? Time to get in the game. Let's go. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit to download the FanDuel app today and get started. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit. Must be 21 or over in present Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know the Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search the Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Want to know in the postseason. And what a way to win that game.
Uh-huh.
Tarik Skubal dazzles ties a Tiger franchise record 14 strikeouts in a playoff game, and Detroit out Guardians Cleveland, taste of their own medicine, little small ball, little McKinstry bunt, and the Tigers eke out what is a classic playoff ugly victory. And it doesn't matter how you do it, you just got to keep doing it. John, we ask people their level of buy-in. Yeah. Are they bought in they're going to win this series? Are they bought in beyond this series? Or are they still not sold they get through Cleveland?
You know, you kind of ruined the moment for me. You weren't even there. But McKinstry has the bunt, and I'm up cheering. And I'm cheering with the eye roll at the same time because I know I'm going to have to hear.
Hey, game on the line. You look to a Chippewa, baby.
An all-star.
That's right. And yes, it was dramatic. Jose Ramirez is on third base with no outs. Here we go again.
Yeah.
They botch the ball over at first. Like, you see it squeak out. You go, oh, no, not like this, not like this. And Will Vest shuts the door in a really tough spot, and the Tigers will turn to Casey Mize today. 248-539-9797. John, you are bought in that they win this series. You've said Tigers in two.
Yep.
Ticket text. I think they win today or tomorrow, but lose to Seattle. The hitting is just not good enough. Ben in Whitmore Lake.
Okay.
Says, we won, but man, this offense and the non-Scooble starts especially, it's going to be awful. What the heck happened to Torres? He looks terrible.
Yeah. I mean, he's the one guy with the high pressure, the most playoff experience, and you would think that he'd be the guy that'd be able to step in and step up. And
he's cost himself a lot of money with the second half nosedive.
Well, and it's not even it's not really just the second half nosedive. It was September was awful. Awful.
Bats break out today, boys. 6-4 Tigers. Tigers in two. TIT.
Mm-hmm.
Your show,
Tanner Bibee on the mound?
Yeah, Bibee's throwing. Your show's very entertaining, but I'd love to hear Cleveland Sports Radio right now. Win the division for what?
Yeah. Well, I mean, go back to what we were talking about on, you know, Thursday and Friday. That's
basically what they're doing today.
Maybe we can have some fun with this later. What is that Detroit sports moment? What Ramirez did.
Oh. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to take us down like the rabbit hole of all the bad things that have happened?
I'm just asking
a question. I mean, I find it fascinating. I was thinking, like, has a star in the past done something like that? But he's their boy. Uh-huh. They love him.
Jose. Yeah, we heard the chants.
Yeah, I don't know. So he's the one that made it to third base.
Yeah, he was running violently.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he plays the game in a violent manner. He just looks mad all the time. But he's got this weird, and I'm not going to sit here and you know, talk about one of the opponents other than the fact that, first of all, I loved a couple of years ago when he stayed in Cleveland and took less money, endeared himself to that fan base. But he's a guy that looks angry playing, but also looks like he loves it at the same time.
He treated that like there was two outs.
Yep. He sold out. He was doing everything he could. Let's get to Q in Detroit. Q, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys doing today?
We're doing damn good.
Man, I know, right? So I called Pat the other day and I told him, because he was kind of talking about the same thing you guys talking about, people not really interested in, you know, the Tigers losing the division, all that stuff. Look, I told Pat and I said, the season start over, it's the playoffs, none of that matter, we got in. That's all that matters is you getting in. We was one of those teams that got in, and anything can happen, just like in 06 when we lost the division, had a good lead, and went into the World Series. Now, I have confidence that this is a wide-open American League. I think the Tigers can make it. I truly think we can still make the World Series. We proved that we can play good baseball, you know, and just hopefully we can get more offense because I believe in Scoob. And if we could get him, because we win in this series, we could get him for game two and game five, because I think we're going to go to five with Seattle.
It's possible. I mean, it is certainly possible. And yes, it is a wide open American League. But if you go back to, and I know that, hey, they did something yesterday that didn't feel like they could do, and that was just win against the Guardians in a moment that mattered. Now you go back to, when did this whole skid start?
Seattle.
Yeah.
Right before the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And they have two bats they didn't have then.
Well,
Naylor and Suarez.
Look, the Tigers got to get.
And Naylor used to be a Guardian.
And people here hate him.
Right.
Right. And look, they got to get through this series.
Right.
I'm still not sold they're getting through this series.
Tigers
in
two.
Then you face Seattle, which is the ultimate narrative series. They had the big deadline. We had the dud deadline. Can they rewrite that story if they beat Seattle? I mean,
hey, yeah. John, did you see Bregman doubled off Bednar last night?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. I watched that that entire game, and yeah, it was. Trust me, there were so many times like it. Doing the show with Cookies has kind of ruined some sports moments for me.
Sorry, buddy. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, this news is brought to you by Randazzo Heating and Cooling and Electrical. More family and friends of victims of Sunday's attack at the Grand Blanc Church have now launched GoFundMe pages, obviously seeking help. According to one page that was launched on Monday, Benjamin Phelps and his young son were among those who were wounded in the attack. It sounds like his son has now returned home, but Benjamin is still facing a long and difficult road to recovery, according to the GoFundMe. So as of Tuesday morning, that page raised more than $32,000. There's another woman in Fenton who set up a GoFundMe to help her father-in-law's wife. Her page explained that her father-in-law lost his life in the shooting, and she's raising money to obviously help support his wife of over 50 years, who's now going to be going through bills and living expenses on her own. That page has raised about $16,000. I'm sure it's even more. These are as of Tuesday morning. We talked about another victim yesterday, John Bond. His family has also set up a GoFundMe as well to help finance a memorial service and support his family. I mean, it makes sense.
Tough,
I'm sure
long days ahead for them.
Yes, without a doubt. Monroe County Community College was evacuated and closed on Tuesday due to a bomb threat. An alert posted late in the morning stated that the MCCC main campus has received a bomb threat, has been evacuated and closed. It also said, please do not come onto campus until further notice. All classes have been canceled for the day. There was also this evening gala that was canceled as well. Officials said that the threat came via email, leading to the evacuation of students and staff. And it sounds like everyone had to evacuate very quickly. Some people had to leave behind like their vehicles. They were just told to get out because they left the keys in the building. It sounds like today everyone can return and
recover
anything they left. And I'm thinking classes will start. There was Michigan State Police troopers there with bomb-sniffing canines. There was no information, though, regarding what the threat stated or who the threat came from. It did say that there were several emails sent. It also does sound like it was most likely a hoax, but they had to treat it like it wasn't, right?
Yeah, you have to.
So a Lake Orion woman has been charged with 18 felonies after she intentionally took her Jeep and rammed into 10 random pedestrians in several communities across Metro Detroit. We spoke about her, but now we're learning what she's facing. So police identified this woman as a 30-year-old woman named Rochelle Rickliff. The rampage spanned cities of Royal Oak, Clawson, Hazel Park, and Warren. First, she hit this guy riding a bike in Royal Oak. Then from there, she drove into Clawson, rammed in and damaged a pair of police patrol vehicles. She had two kids in the car with her. Her son, 12 years old, was able to jump out while police were trying to pull her over. Her other child, I believe was six, remained in the car the entire time. Then continued on to Hazel Park, Warren, in total hit 10 people. And authorities are saying it's basically a miracle that nobody suffered life-threatening injuries. But like I said, she's now facing 18 felonies. So we've been experiencing something like this little mini summer lately. Like it has been same as last year. Remember last year, too? We didn't get that cool, crisp fall weather that we wanted.
It's October. Come on.
Yes. So we've had temperatures reaching, 80 degrees. So if you're over the heat, like most of us are, the good news is that cooler temperatures are right around the corner. So that's good. On average, cities here in the Lower Peninsula see their first freezing temperatures, which is below 32 degrees, in October, while the UP normally experiences the frost earlier.
We've already had snow in the UP.
Yeah, they've already experienced that. They actually experienced that in late August. So there you go, but not here. So when will we see the first frost? Well, that's yet to be determined. But it sounds like if we look at last year, the first frost, November 21st. Wow. The earliest was September 22nd in 1974.
Yeah. Obviously, we're not going to hit that one, but I do think we get it. We're going to get it sometime in late October.
I hope. We're going to see cooler temperatures in the 60s and 70s this weekend.
There you go.
So
that's more like
that's better, right? Yeah.
Heather with the news coming up next. The power surge. John Jansen's top six teams in the NFL as of today. It's 97.1.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.
Who are the best teams in the NFL, John?
Well, there's a clear delineation between the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's hard to come up with six teams that I think are really playing good football right now, or at least through 5 weeks, through 4 weeks, going into week five. This is a little review from last week. Number six was Green Bay. They tied. That's amazing. The Chargers were at five. And they lost to the New York football Giants and a rookie quarterback in his first start. Ouch. Tampa was at four, Detroit at three, Philly at two, and Buffalo at one. So let's go to the teams that are kind of on the outside looking in. Cincinnati is 2-2. They're not on the outside looking in. They're on the outside looking up, trying to figure out what the hell has happened since Joe Burrow went down. And it's just easy enough. Your quarterback and that offense is just not going to be able to get it done. So they're a 2-2 team that's pretty much gonzo. The other 2-2 teams, New England, Chicago, Atlanta, Arizona, Washington, Minnesota, Denver, and Kansas City. Of those teams that I think are good or going to be able to recover from a 2-2 start, Kansas City, obviously. Denver is still trying to figure out what they are. Nice rushing performance last weekend. Defense hasn't been what we thought it would be, but there's still time to come around. I think the interesting ones are more in the division, where you have Washington playing with a quarterback for a couple games. Minnesota and Chicago. Chicago 0-2, now 2-2. I don't know what we make of them, but they're there and hanging around. Minnesota as well, without JJ, and have no idea what they're going to do at the quarterback position. It's going to be interesting to see when JJ is healthy, what they do. But I put Kansas City in the next level up, in comparable to some of the 3-1 teams. And tell me what you think before we get to the top six of some of these 3-1 teams. Pittsburgh, Indianapolis, Jacksonville.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what to make of Jacksonville. They are 3-1.
They forced the most turnovers in football. I have a feeling this is being propped up by some favorable bounces. They're not this good.
I don't think so either. And Trevor Lawrence, he's not playing as a quarterback of a 3-1 team. Green Bay is interesting because they're 2-1-1, which always is fun to say. And the Chargers at 3-1 as well. San Francisco is in there. So those are the teams on the outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
The top five teams, and we'll have plenty of room for discussion here.
You mean top six teams?
Top six teams, yes. I'm going to start at the top because there's not a lot of movement at the top. Buffalo comes in at number one yet again. Okay, what do we make of them? Great game to open the season against the Ravens. Then they played the Jets, the Dolphins, and the Saints. I still think they're the best team right now, but you look at their entire schedule, and I was going through this morning with you, Jim. They may have the easiest schedule, and they may go 17-0, or let's just say maybe they go 15-0, and we still don't really know if they're that good. Because
so who are they going to play so we can compare? They already beat Baltimore. They're going to face Tampa.
Well, they got Patriots, Falcons, Panthers. They've got the Chiefs, but the Chiefs are at home and still trying to figure out what the Chiefs are. But the Chiefs at that point should be Rashee Rice will be back.
Correct.
What will they be when he's back? TBD. Dolphins, Bucks at home. They got all their big games at home. Texans, Steelers, Bengals, Patriots, Browns. That 16th game for them, week 17, Eagles at home.
Okay, so...
So then we'll finally learn a little bit more about the Eagles. We'll know more about the Eagles because we'll obviously play the Eagles, but...
So we'll learn about Buffalo in January.
Yeah. Well, the last weekend of, yes. of 2025.
Yeah.
So I still have them at number one. Philly is at two because you look at the teams that they've beaten. Now, before we thought the Chiefs were average, they did go to Kansas City and get a win.
Should you have flip-flopped these two? Philly with wins against Tampa in Tampa. A win in Kansas City against the Chiefs.
Well, I'm close to it.
Okay,
but the Buffalo has done nothing to say they don't still belong at number one. They just haven't played anyone, but they've taken care of business. You can only play the teams you're on your schedule. So, at the Chiefs, at the Bucks, and then in between that, they beat the Rams at home.
Right.
So they have a terrific resume.
I think you should flip them, but it's your list.
Yeah, well, let's give it a little bit more time. And again, it's going to be hard because the Eagles now play the Broncos, the Giants, the Vikings, the Giants, and then they play the Packers and the Lions. So, again, it's how do we know by that point? Detroit stays at number three, and this is more of a justification for me putting them at three last week because after that, you've got Tampa Bay, who was at number four, but they don't go anywhere because they lost to the Eagles. And it was a damn good game. The Rams come in at number five. And where did I have them last week? Oh, they weren't in the top six. So they lost to the Eagles is their only loss. And that was in Philly. So they've got wins over the Texans, the Titans. Again, not great wins. But they did hand the Indianapolis Colts their first loss.
I'd flip four and five. I'd have the Rams at four, because first of all, they played Philly tougher, and they have some notable wins, including the one they just picked up against the 3-0 Colts team.
Yeah, but there's just something about Baker and that team that I just think they find ways to win. Well,
it's Stafford and the Rams. He's a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, but...
You just don't like Stafford.
No, that's not it. And then at number six, this is where it was really tough because, like I said, there's a lot of 3-1 teams. What do you make of them? Who should be in there? And the ones that I already said were out, Green Bay's not 3-1, but they're right there. The Chargers, but they lost to the Giants. Indy, but they're coming off a loss. San Francisco. And so I went with the team that lost to San Francisco in week one, but has handed the Steelers their only loss and just beat the Cardinals on the road. And I didn't think that they would be one of these teams that I'd ever talk about in the top six. The Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah, I thought preseason they'd be a team looking to draft in the top six.
Yeah, and I think Mike has done a terrific job in terms of coaching out there. And you have Sam Darnold. What do we make of Sam Darnold, who was rejuvenated, as we well know, last year in Minnesota? He goes to Seattle, and everybody's thinking, oh, well, without Kevin O'Connell, he's not going to be much of anything. Well, so far this year, he's got a 70% completion percentage. He's done an extremely good job. Five touchdowns, two interceptions. He's only been sacked six times, which is one of the lower in the league. Some of it's not on him. Some of it's on the offensive line. But they've also had to shuffle some guys around on the offensive line. They just find ways to win. And so I've got Seattle at number six.
It's just tough because I don't really respect a lot of the teams they beat. I'm not high on the Cardinals. You are, so I get why that's a big win. The Saints win is nothing. And the Steelers, look, they may find their way into the playoffs. I don't think they're a particularly good football team.
No, but we're talking about a whole bunch of teams that are bunched up in there. And as I told you before we started, like it's kind of a coin flip. And I could have put the Chargers in there after losing to the Giants.
I think you could still have the Chargers ahead of Seattle. You also could have been bold and said Kansas City's a different team with Worthy. Put them at 2-2 in the last spot.
I need to see more because as teams adjust to Kansas City, can you just have one guy return and he be your complete offense? The offense is Patrick Mahomes, but
it stretches and opens things up for everybody.
And their defense is good.
Yeah.
And that's what I did this week. I have Kansas City fourth.
Whew. Wow.
Because I just simply said, who do I think are the best teams in football right now? And who would win games against each other? And I think the top three are easy: Bills, Eagles, Lions. And then I went with Kansas City. I think there's something to entertain about the Ravens if they can get some things right. But now Lamar's out a couple weeks. I mean, it just looks like they have the look of the team that lost season because of misfortune and all that stuff. And then fifth and sixth, I ended up putting Tampa five. I'm not going to hold losing to one of the best teams in the league against them that much. And then probably the Rams.
Yeah. So I would have the same six. I just had Kansas City sixth. But
yeah, but it's a muddled mess after the three.
You're right.
And you really have to, John, your words, you stole them from my mouth. I said it to Greg about a minute before we came out and you started the segment. I go, this is a really tough week to do the power search.
It is because
there's a lot of garbage out there.
There is. And so the Seattle Seahawks, they play Tampa this weekend. So we'll know more about them, about both teams. And that one's going to be in Seattle.
Can I just give you something for comparison? A lot of these sites do their power rankings. I pulled up a FanDuel just to see Super Bowl odds right now. The Bills are one.
Mm-hmm.
But the Eagles are two.
Okay.
The Lions are three.
Okay, so it follows mine.
Number four is a tie. Kansas City and the Green Bay Packers.
So I know, okay, we all love the fact that Green Bay tied the Dallas Cowboys, which is, it's still laugh-worthy. They're still a really good team. Obviously, we know that with what they did to the Lions in the first game. But they play one way at home and a completely different way on the road.
Yeah,
not a sign of a good team.
I had them tied kind of with the Rams. And I went with the Rams because they have the better record right now. But you have to have some respect for the two wins that they do have.
Yeah, I think there's a clear top three. And then four and five, I think you could interchange. Unlike you with Kansas City, I think you could interchange Tampa and the Rams. I understand putting Kansas City in there. It's a little bit more, I think, credit to Patrick Mahomes. But then after that, there's just a whole lot of garbage.
As your power surge, we got to talk Tiger baseball. 1-0 in the postseason. It's 97-1.
Hey, I want to give you a highlight, and that's the Great Valley, your Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers are bringing you, our listeners, this month. Maybe you need a new truck in the driveway. Get Motor City's hottest truck. It's the GMC Sierra 1500 Elevation for an unbelievable $199 per month. And another thrilling option is the GMC Sierra EV, built to exceed what you thought an electric truck could be with over 600 horsepower. And it comes standard. I'll say that again. 600 horsepower. These deals are happening right now at any of your 20 Metro Detroit Buick GMC dealers. GM estimated horsepower rating based on due at signing amount of $3,189. Must be a current lessee of a 2020 model year or newer Buick or GMC vehicle through GM Financial for at least 30 days prior to the new vehicle sale. Tax, title, license, dealer fees are extra. No security deposit required. Mileage charge of 25 cents per mile over 20,000 miles at participating dealers only. Residency restrictions do apply.
Well on his way to 14 punch-outs, struck out the side in the seventh, all 100-mile-an-hour pitches, including 101. Tigers win. John, keeps Tigers in two on the table.
Yes, it does, and it keeps that the odds of whoever wins game one winning the series. And last year, there's only one series that went to three games, Padres-Mets. Mm-hmm. We know how devastating that was to the Mets. They haven't been able to recover yet.
Well done. We want to know your level of buy-in. Are you bought into the degree that they'll win the series? Bought in that they'll win even more beyond this series? Or maybe you're not even bought in that they will win this series, despite what history says. And John, I'm in that third category. I just don't know that they have enough offense to win on days where Skubal isn't throwing.
Well, you're going to need a special performance from Casey Mize, and I don't think he goes as deep as Tarek Skubal did. So now you're also going to need a couple of special performances by Finnegan and friends. And maybe you see Vest again in the bottom of the ninth. I don't know how their AJ is going to work that, but I think Casey Mize, the decision for AJ is going to be, when has Casey Mize reached his limit? Because we've seen throughout the course of the season, he can get into trouble, he can get out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes for a lot of gnashing of the teeth when he's on the mound, but he's been able to get out of some of those moments. Is it the fourth? Is it the fifth? Can he go to the sixth? Like, when it goes bad for Casey Mize, it goes. Same thing for Jack Flaherty. Like, when you don't have your ace on the mound, that's kind of what you got to determine as a manager, is pulling the strings at the right time.
Cleveland's the deeper staff.
Oh, there's no question. Detroit
did what they're supposed to do in game one. It's the reason they had the advantage in the series. And I'm thrilled they did. Like, it was awesome watching Scooble. I love giving the Guardians a taste of their own medicine. But do I think Detroit's going to out-Guardian the Guardians? I don't. I mean, they went 1 of 8 with runners in scoring position yesterday. That third inning early, tell me if you weren't thinking it at the time, that's one that you got to get. Those are ones that'll haunt you. I don't think they're winning the series, even though they won game one.
So they're the first time.
Yeah, there's always got to be somebody's got to be first.
No, it's not a long history, but in the 3-year history of the expanded playoffs,
somebody's got to be first.
You're such a downer. You're such a bum.
Never mind, guys. Blinders on. Everything's great. No, I just can't ignore it. They haven't hit in a month.
So let me ask you this. I know, and I mentioned it when we opened up. First inning. I thought there was a chance for Williams to have a 3-pitch first inning because it was, hey, Parker Meadows, swing, one out. Was it Gleyber Torres was second, swing, another out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden you start to get a couple of guys on base. But my point is I like the fact that they were aggressive at the plate early because I heard a stat about the Guardians, where if they score first, or if they score in the first inning, they win like 92% of those games.
Sounds right. So you knew
you were going to have to go out there and be aggressive. Now, don't quote me on that. I know that that's not the exact number, but that was what I got the feeling of. If they score first, and if they score in the first inning, so you get the first at-bats, that's the benefit of being on the road. You get to be in attack mode first, and I loved the fact that they went out there and said, you know what, screw what happened in the last 6 weeks. Screw what happened last time we were here in Cleveland. We're going to go out there and attack the pitchers.
Look, it makes sense. Cleveland's built to hold even the smallest of leads. They got a great bullpen. They're a strong defense. You got to get to them early. I think we talked about that yesterday. You got to get to them early because then you take the pressure off. Like, Detroit wants to play free and loose, and there's no pressure from some late season collapse. It's a new season 0-0. Well, don't get down 2 runs because then that pressure comes back in a hurry. It's impossible to play playoff baseball without there being pressure, and there will be pressure on the Tigers. How will they deliver in those pressurized moments? Yesterday, the only hit they had with runners in scoring position came in the first inning. God, that's not a recipe to win this series and certainly not beyond this series.
No, it is not a recipe to make a long playoff run, but you only got to have one more than they do. And that's what they did yesterday.
Some ticket text says, how awesome is it beating Cleveland in football and baseball? No better feeling than making all of Ohio feel like crap. Let's go, Tigers. I wish we could also play and beat the Reds as well.
Well, we do own that state.
Says the only thing missing is Michigan beating the Buckeyes. We could win the whole state. John in Shelby.
Well, we're not missing that. We're still living that.
Todd in Mount Clemens. I've been a diehard Tigers fan since 1980. I just can't stop watching them. Yes, September frustrated me, but if you're a fan, you continue to support them. These fair weather fans are not real fans.
I'm not going to call them not real fans. I get their frustrations. It's not my perspective. It's not where I'm coming from. But I do understand the frustration, whether it's Scott Harris, the trade deadline, it's this team. And you thought up until the All-Star break that they were punching above their weight class. All of those different things are true.
You're allowed to feel burned out.
And it's a long-ass season.
The season's too long. And this year really grinded on you as a fan and wore on you. And we took calls from people who were burned out. I just don't get why you wouldn't at least keep an eye on it. Because it's fun. Like, yesterday was fun. I know it was ugly, but it's fun to beat the Guardians and give them a taste of their own medicine. To, like, deprive yourself of that experience of watching your team win a playoff game, you got to snap out of it. Ticket text.
Maybe they did.
Maybe the Tigers did. That's the question we're asking. Level of buy-in. Are you bought in they're winning the series? Are you bought in they're winning more than this series? Tex says, guys, they've scored 2.3 runs per game in their last 10. It only works with Scooble, with Anger, Harris, and the Guardians in three, Matt and Hartland.
Mm.
I'm still not sold on the TIT, but I say go Tigers nonetheless. They had a commanding lead in the regular season and blew it to the Guardians. I hope it doesn't happen in this series. I'll believe it when I see it, Chad, in a truck.
So I'm curious your thoughts on this, because I know you weren't bought in about the whole reset and everything. But when the Tigers had to have a win, they couldn't find a way to get one. Mm-hmm. They did the bare minimum, absolute bare minimum, by tying the Houston Astros, but winning that tiebreaker to get into the postseason. Now that they've won game one, are they back to where they were in September, where they have the advantage? And right. Now there's the pressure, or...
That's a good question. Certainly there's more pressure on the team facing elimination in Cleveland. At the same time...
But they faced elimination for six weeks.
For 6 weeks. And what did they do? So it's we almost have like a shrunk down version of the last month and a half today.
Right.
Today is the last 6 weeks in a little time capsule for 2.5 hours. Because you're right. Detroit has the advantage. 15.5 games... One game. They have the advantage. Just win a game.
Right.
And it'll all be okay. Just win a game.
One.
But if they lose a game, Cleveland's right there.
And the pressure again. And the pressure of coming off a historical collapse to then possibly making short history, because it's only been 3 years, but being the first team to win game one, but not win the wild card series.
Like I'm saying, I'm as a Tigers fan, still very nervous about this series.
Maybe, just putting it all out there.
Maybe people are confident. Maybe they're bought all the way back in. TIT, Tigers in two. Let us know. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, pages of ticket texts. It's 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Mike Valeni. Did you know The Valeni Show with Rico is not just a radio show, it's also a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods. Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search The Valeni Show with Rico, hit the follow button to get every minute of this show your way and on your time.